This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Female veterans are nearly 2.5 times more likely to commit suicide than women civilians. That data comes from the Veterans Administration Suicide Prevention Program, and this compares with figures that show a far smaller disparity between male vets and civilian men. WUNC military reporter Jay Price looked at why female veterans are struggling. He produced two features for the American Homefront Project, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Jay.
Glad to be here, Frank.
Tell us about this. Before we get, I suppose we should get into this figure. We're not saying that the suicide rates for women are higher than men. It's just this disparity between those who had not served and those who had, right?
Exactly. In the civilian world or most anywhere else, the rates for women are much lower. But the disparity, the difference in the rates between the men and the women veterans is significant. And the difference between the female veterans and the female, the kind of cohorts in the civilian world are kind of startling. The difference is, female veterans are 2.5 times more likely to kill themselves. That's substantial, even if the general level is pretty low.
2.5 times more likely than a woman who had not served in the military, than that population.
Exactly. And there's plenty of theories about this, and they're under some stresses I think we'll get into. But, one of the reasons this has become more and more significant is just, frankly, because female veterans are more and more significant. Mm-hmm. The number of women in the military was actually capped, back in the 40s, 50s, and when the cap was lifted, it began to rise pretty quickly, and now it's maybe 15% roughly of the military. And if you think about that, what that means is we're minting a lot more female veterans, and they're becoming proportionally a larger chunk of the veteran population. And they're becoming just, frankly, just a lot more important part of society, and they're getting a lot more attention. The issues that they have are getting a lot more attention.
Still, even if the numbers rise, we might expect a disparity between the veteran population and civilian population to be the same between men and women. We might expect that. And here we see a big difference, 2.5 times the rate in the female population and 18% disparity among men. Now, part of that, I understand, Jay, is the fact is that there's a higher percentage of men who actually commit suicide, veterans and not, right? I mean, you have more men committing suicide.
Yeah, and statistics about suicide are very tricky. Like with male veterans in particular, the numbers are extraordinary. There's a lot of talk of 20 a day or 22 a day. A lot of those, you think about younger veterans, and we've talked about this before. You think about younger veterans who have just come back from combat being probably the people who are doing this, but that's not the case. It's mainly older veterans. But women face all these other pressures. One of the big things, and this is getting more and more attention, is military sexual trauma, MST. Everything's got an acronym related to the military. Mm-hmm. And that's sexual assault and sexual harassment. The sexual assault rates, a Pentagon study in 1995 found, were about 6% for women. Men experienced it too in the military, is about 1%. Sexual harassment, 78% among women and 38% among men. I can guarantee you, I've spent a lot of time embedded, and I can guarantee you the 78% harassment figure is low, and the actual figure is probably right at 100%.
Yeah. So that's it. So some of the stressors that women face in the military, different than men, and the transition is different. You talked to Army Colonel Ellen Herring, and you talked about the challenges that women face making that transition, and here's what she told you.
Lack of job when you get out, you don't have a job, now you become homeless. Women have increased risk factors, being they're more likely to have children. They have a struggle getting jobs at equivalent pay that their male counterparts do. So they have a couple of additional, they're more likely to have been assaulted. Certainly they've been harassed. So these are compounding risk factors that women face that men probably don't face. They're more likely to be single and have children. Those are huge financial burdens and challenges.
That's retired Army Colonel Ellen Herring talking about some of the difficulties specifically that women had faced. And up until now, really, as whatever transitional services there were, didn't take these into account, I'm assuming.
They do take them into account, but not as well as they might. Transitioning out. Here she was talking about a lot of the challenges that women face in the civilian population, but they're compounded. The stress of all this kind of piles up, and it's compounded when you're moving from that world of the military, where hopefully you have a support network of a tight-knit unit around you, where many aspects of life are regimented, you know, you're housed, you're fed, to the uncertainty of kind of making your own way sometimes in the civilian world. And so that transition is tough. And the military and the VA have known this for a long time, and they have a process. The military has a process for this. It's almost more of a human resources thing than it is kind of a mental health or healthcare thing. But they do identify when they can people who have issues and try to do a handoff to the VA. But it's not perfect, and they're trying to fine-tune and do a better job of that transition. Because this is a kind of perilous moment. And if you think about it, stress, any sort of stress for civilians, the bigger times, the worst times we have for stress are often big changes in life, divorce, changing jobs. People don't think about that, but it's a big deal stress-wise. And this is as big as a job change gets.
Right. Transition is difficult for everybody, and the military has prepared everybody for that transition for the reasons that you stated, regimented life, unregimented life, like changing jobs and all that. But again, that could be the same for everybody. So those particular stressors for women, particularly, and you talked about in your pieces, I think something very interesting and we might not have considered, which is if you've come back from any kind of a mission, a combat mission, the guys get to settle down, but if you face sexual harassment or sexual assault, not so much. So talk about some of these other stressors that women face that men might not.
Yeah. And again, one reason we're focusing on this a lot more is because there are more women coming out and that kind of tailoring that transition for what other kinds of baggage they may be carrying out of the military is proportionally now more important. Colonel Herring, and she's a retired Army colonel. She now is kind of head of research for Service Women's Action Network. Actually did academic research into the effects, psychological effects, of being one of these women who are attached to these small cultural teams. They're tiny little teams of women who were attached, and still probably are in some places, to male infantry units, much larger all-male infantry units. They go out in the field, they experience combat. Then they come back between missions to their small forward operating bases, and many of them feel like they can't let up. The guys can kind of blow off a little steam. Sometimes if it's a big base, it's a coffee shop, just weightlifting or whatever, and they hang out and do guy stuff. And the women, meanwhile, feel like often feel like pieces of meat. They walk around and people are kind of looking at them in kind of a predatory fashion, and, they're thinking about this sexual assault problem. So and then when they transition back to their own units, their own unit hasn't been out there in combat with them, has no idea what they've experienced. They're not, kind of part of that kind of support network that the male troops have.
You also focused in your reporting on one female veteran who committed suicide. Tell us about her.
Dina Martorella Orellana. Dina was from Western Pennsylvania. She joined the Marines not long after a brief experience in college. She had drifted a little bit. And she served in Afghanistan with one of these small units, kind of by coincidence, in a particularly bad part of Helmand Province. And according to what the VA later told her family, developed PTSD that was tied to combat that she saw, and also all related to an incident in which a man she knew burned down her house near Camp Lejeune. She wasn't in the house, but PTSD isn't just a combat thing. Trauma is trauma. Psychological trauma is psychological trauma. You see a bad car crash, you're in a bad car crash. This happens to civilians. Things you've seen that don't necessarily happen to you, sexual trauma, aren't just military things. But she loved the Marines. I talked to her mother, and she described this tattoo of the Eagle Globe and Anchor insignia of the Marine Corps on Dina's flank. And she described it as being about the size of a basketball almost. She loved the Marines, but when her enlistment ran out in 2015, she left. And she stayed on in the Jacksonville area. She was a bartender and worked as a personal trainer. She's very physical. But she got a couple of DWIs and was going to lose her license probably. She was having trouble with a boyfriend and moved out of the apartment where they lived. And she had been planning to go to college. So all these things were kind of piling up. And she was thinking she wasn't now going to be able to drive to classes at UNCW. And it all kind of, I guess, came to a head. And she went to the VA and asked for help. And the VA kind of set up a counseling regimen for her. She agreed to it. But when on the same day that she made that visit, she had a girlfriend drop her at her ex-boyfriend's house, went in, retrieved his handgun, and sat down in the bedroom and killed herself. You know, and this is one of the big things about women suicide, women veteran suicide, is they're a lot more likely to use guns. And it makes sense. You know, you're in the military, you're more comfortable with guns, you're familiar with guns, you're more likely to use them. They're an extremely effective method.
This may mean a higher completion rate than women in the general population who tend not to use guns when they attempt suicide. Am I right?
Yes. The experts strongly believe this is one of the reasons the rate is as high as it is. But, you know, I've just talked about Dina, like she was just a case study in a business class or a medical class. She was really bad at telling jokes. She was really awkward, but she was a phenomenon on the soccer field. She made the boys look sick in junior high school and high school. She played in college. She was a physical phenomenon. She was special.
Good reporting, Jay. As always, something we need to pay attention to. Thank you very much, Jay Price, WNC military reporter.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
You can find links to his work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, have you ever had a nightmare that has pointed to a disease? Many people have, and we'll talk to Dr. Larry Burke, who is a radiologist who's looked into it. More of that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.